Gaiva is a midah that every single person, if he looks inside of himself, needs to work on. How do we work on gaiva? What does gaiva mean? And if we think about it, one of the most emotional midos, which seems to be very, very far apart from the midah of gaiva, really is directly connected to it. And that is the midah of kas, anger. According to the Ramban, in the Igeres HaRamban, if you read the Ramban carefully, one will see that the Ramban believes that the most passionate of all midos, kas, and one of the most cerebral of the most worst midos, gaiva, are directly connected to each other. Let's read the famous words of the Ramban in his Igeres. Shma bini musar avicha v'al titoish Torah simecha, tisnaheg tamid ledaber kol dvarecha benachas. Notice what the Ramban is saying. He's saying if you want that your derech to be a derech that's Torah simecha, the first thing to do is to make sure that you speak softly. Ubazeh tinatzel minakas. And if you speak softly, then that will help you, save you from anger. Shehimi dara l'achti b'nei adam. So Rabbi said we have three variables over here. Variable number one is you speak softly. You train yourself like a monkey to speak softly. That's what it seems at first glance Ramban is saying. Just train yourself to speak softly. So then in such a case, you'll be saved from kas. Shehi midah ra'a. Seems to me that the Ramban is saying it's the worst midah. And then he says, he quotes a few psukim, but for brevity purposes, we'll skip. Maybe one day down the line, we'll discuss some of these things. V'chasher tinatzel min hakas. And when you save yourself from kas, so then you're ready. So Ramban is saying the most passionate, well, every single one of us have, I would imagine, has lost their temper at times. We know that it's something that's extremely, extremely visceral. Gaiva, the way I had always thought gaiva was, maybe from the Ramban we'll see that there's a different component of gaiva. Gaiva means, as people say, you look down on somebody else. And we also have to work on that as well. What's the relationship that the Ramban says, if you speak softly, you save yourself from kas? First of all, as we dramatized before, just you train yourself to speak softly, all of a sudden you're going to be saved from kas? What does he mean? And then, with that, you're ready for another. You're almost from, if you read the Ramban, it sounds like you're on the highway, tala alitcha midas another, just put another on your heart, and you're set. So what's the pshat? The omek hadvarim, and our avoda, beis Hashem rabosai, first 10 minutes of avoda is like this. Gaiva, haughtiness, is not, I think, from a Torah perspective, start from the idea that you look down on somebody else. There's something a lot deeper. Kol hakoyes, kol mine gehenem shotem ba, Chazal say. Kas is keilu oved avodah zarah. Why is kas like oved avodah zarah? Because if you think about it, when you get angry, when you lose control, what has happened was, you thought the world revolved around you. You thought that this seat, you know, now's the time in yeshiva, everybody's getting his makom. This was my seat. This is my seat. How could it be that someone else sat down next to me? That means that we're seeing the perspective of the world from entirely our perspective. We're not seeing it from the perspective of the gabbai who's in charge of the seating in the yeshiva. We're not seeing it from the perspective of the Rosh Yeshiva. We're not seeing it from the perspective of our chaverim, etc., etc. Kas starts from the fact that I look at the world as revolving around me. Think of almost every instance of kas and its terrible, terrible manifestations. Ad kidei kach, that someone who's an Orthodox Jew can murder a tzaddik. Something that was lo hayah v'lo nivra. That means that in the bria of the world today, there's a tremendous, tremendous undercurrent of absolute selfishness that produces itself into a form of ritzicha, where everybody is often guilty of thinking about things only from their perspective. Gaiva doesn't mean to look down. Kas is not a product of looking down on somebody. Eventually, what happens is, the further and further you become self-absorbed, so everything revolves around you, you begin to look down, but it starts at a mida which is much more subtle. And it manifests in that negative passionate reaction. If a person speaks softly, says the Ramban, goes on, what's anava? Says the Ramban, v'chasher tisnaig b'midas hanava lizboshesh mikol adam. I don't try to out-scream you. I speak softly to you. I don't try to force my opinion upon you. I don't try to assert my position. It's like avodah zara. Kas is like avodah zara because by definition, I promise you that every single koes on some level is being kofer by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Every single koes is being kofer by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why? Because he's seeing things only from his perspective. And once he takes a step back and says, wait a second, there are other people who have a Tzelem Elokim. Where does that Tzelem Elokim come from? There's the Borei Olam that's being manig this world. I have a Tzelem Elokim, they have a Tzelem Elokim. So not everything has to go my way. Sometimes when things don't go my way, they really are going my way. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan that's bigger and greater than what I thought was best for me. I thought the best thing was for me to sit here. Wait a second. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks otherwise. The moment the person begins to take that approach, benachas, and he says, wait a second, my das, not kiblu daiti, everybody has to accept my das, so then he sees things from a totally different perspective. And then, when a person realizes that, he's boseh shmikol adam. Now let me give you a subtle manifestation of it, which is a musar that I experienced myself, a story that brings this out, where we see that when a person sees things only within his Dalet Amos, when he sees things from his glasses, then sometimes there is a gaiva that comes out where you're really looking down on somebody else. I mentioned this to Talmud in the past. My brother may be in Lakewood. He does things a little bit different than me, who had learned in YU. One of the things he did is after he came back, after a few years of living learning in Eretz Yisrael, after being in what they call in Lakewood in the freezer for 6 months, you go out and you get engaged. My brother is a real fine person. He went out for a couple of weeks. He asked my wife to do the research and the girl. He was just sitting and learning the Beis Medrash. My wife said, it sounds like that this girl it wouldn't be appropriate for your brother, but it's appropriate for you, and you could go out with him. So my parents are more modern. They didn't understand this whole idea of the shil system. So my brother convinced my wife to do it. So my brother went out with it. My sister-in-law. It was his first girl. I don't recommend this at all. 3 dates. He was engaged to my sister-in-law. It's not my approach. It's my brother's approach. Tov. Bezer Hashem, everything she well and found. I told him why I disagreed with it. But that's what he did. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. He got engaged 3 days because it was a Hasidish girl. It's a Hasidish girl from a Hasidic background. They don't have all Hasidic hanhagos, but actually her father is a college professor, which will be important later on in the story in a moment. Her father is a college professor who dresses like a Hasid. Tov. So after 3 dates, they're engaged. I go show up to the engagement party in Borough Park. And at the engagement party, there are all people with long beards and long coats. And I sit down next to one of them, and he says to me, Shalom Aleichem, you know, we're getting to meet each other. My brother barely knows his future wife. I certainly don't know his future family members. And I get to sit down to next to one of the family members. He asks me who I am. I ask him who he is. He's the Kala's uncle with a long white beard, the big black hat. And I'm the Chassan's brother. And we're talking a little bit. He asks me where I learn. He says, where do you learn? So I said, I learn in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elkanan. Here's a Chassan in Bar Park. I learn in Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elkanan. Interesting. What are you learning there? So I said, we learn this Masechta. And then I said, we also go to college in the afternoon. And I explained, but the Beis Medrash has 500 people inside of it. And they're real Gedolei Rosh Yeshivas, etc., etc., etc. And he's asking me questions. Really, what are you studying in college? Like it was, you know, I'm introducing someone to Borough Park. Someone in Borough Park, that's possible that you can have someone, they have a Beis Medrash of 500 people sitting and learning, and at the same time, they get a college degree, and there are Talmid HaChamim who are educated, and so on and so forth. And he's listening to me, he's asking me a lot of questions. And then, after 10 minutes, I figured, you know, not to be so absorbed in my own world, I say to him, what's your name? So his name, he says his name. And then I ask him what he does. What do you do? So he says, I'm a professor in Stern College. His name is Dr. Fried. Dr. Fried is a chassid who also teaches in Stern College as well as in the Azraeli Graduate School. He went to the same PhD, to the same graduate school, and got the same PhD as my father, which I never came close to getting. And I'm sitting and explaining to him that it's possible, you know, you backwards chassid that's sitting with the long coat and the white beard, that's possible to have people who are sitting on Amal V'Torah and so on. And he sat in academia much, much longer than I have. So what happened, Rabbi Osai? Was I looking down on him? No, I respected Hasidim both before and after. But what happened was I was seeing the world only through my glasses. I was seeing the world through my glasses. And Memela, there's no doubt that what I was saying for 10 minutes was extremely condescending to him. It was an Eina Miskaven. I was Eina Miskaven, but it was Gaiva. It was Gaiva. How was it Gaiva? Because I was presenting as if there's something that I have and you don't. If I had only thought, then maybe, wait a second, the assumptions that I had made, that I had seen the world only around from my perspective, maybe, wait a second, this is a Tzelem Elokim who has tremendous kochos, so there a person could really, really begin to be mashpil himself to others, not to chas v'chalila speak down to others. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a siyata d'shmaya. The first, I think, step of dealing with this bechina of gaiva is, number one, to speak benachas. Now, wait a second, there's someone here that by definition I can respect. To speak benachas, not to say kiblu daiti. And the moment that a person that says, wait a second, the world doesn't revolve around him, so then we don't look down on somebody else. But it really, really starts with the ability to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perspective. And that is to get in touch with the Chelek Elokami Mal inside of us. That's where a person says, wait a second, the world doesn't revolve around my goof. The world revolves around the neshama, that's the Chelek Elokami Mal, and ultimately then I begin to see things from a more godly perspective and not from a more selfish perspective. Once I do that, so then, wait a second, the person who's in charge comes along and says, maybe I don't think you should sit here. You thought it was the best thing? Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not think it was the best thing. So with that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us the siyata d'shmaya to grow l'mayla u'l'mayla. Okay, Be'ezer Hashem today.